Monday, June 3rd, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever we get that chance. And you know, for some reason, the sports world gives us that chance constantly because they're always doing silly things and no one else laughs at it. We'd rather laugh at it here at the Daily Dose. Hey, happy Monday to you. Yes, we are back. No, you don't need to call it a comeback. The Daily Dose is back after a little bit of a break that we took last week. Hey, it was Memorial Day. And we also had a few things we needed to take care of. We actually might be discussing a couple of those things a little bit later in the week. But I hope that last week went well for you. You know, last week we actually played some older episodes of The Dose. And you know, it was kind of interesting to hear some of the things that we were talking about. Those episodes were from back in 2015. Some of those things were still pretty relatable today. You know, we discussed the Golden State Warriors finding themselves down early in the 2015 NBA Finals. Of course, they came back and won those finals. Yeah, kind of seems like we might overreact just a little bit to early games in a 7-game series, don't we? We even talked about Green Bay Packers quarterback Bart Starr actually being pretty underrated. You know, we don't talk about Bart Starr as one of the all-time great quarterbacks. We really don't. Of course, we ended up losing Bart Starr last week at the age of 85. And as people discussed his passing, I kept hearing some very, very popular sports personalities saying how, well, yeah, Bart Starr was good. But I mean, he was just a game manager. He wasn't actually a guy that was a true quarterback. Like, he couldn't have been a quarterback in this era. He was good, you know, back then, being a game manager, but he's just not that kind of guy. Yeah, go do some more homework, because Bart Starr did a lot more than just hand off the football. He actually put up some of his biggest passing numbers when the Packers' running game was struggling. And let's also not forget this very important part. Bart Starr called all of his own plays. You know, sometimes it is a little bit interesting to go back, listen to some of those old shows, and just see how relatable they are today. We definitely had that this last week. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know how you spent last week. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And maybe your week was uneventful. Maybe you don't have anything to talk about last week. That's all right. Do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Do you have a suggestion? Is there a certain subject that you just wish we would talk about and we don't ever do it? So you sit there and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to listen today because they're not talking about the subject that maybe I want to hear about. Well, how are we going to know if you don't reach out and let us know? We have smart listeners here at the Daily Dose. Reach out to us. We want to hear what it is that you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of the latest Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We've got t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, a number of items over at tpublic.com. They get it to you quickly. It's pretty reasonably priced. So make sure that you stop by tpublic.com and search Daily Dose where you can find all of that good stuff over there. Hey, today on the show, as we do on many Mondays, we are going to be examining what we learned from the weekend in sports. And you know, it was an interesting weekend in sports. And I know that we're kind of getting into that dry time of year, that time of year where it just doesn't seem like there's enough on to watch. Like, we're all missing football. The NBA Finals, they're so few and far between that we only get like one game the entire weekend. Same thing with the Stanley Cup Final. We're not getting nearly enough games. So it is kind of that slow time of year, but that doesn't mean there were a number of things out there for us to take from what we watched in the weekend in sports. There was a lot of things to take in. There were a number of things to learn. And here at the Daily Dose, we always want to be learning something from what we watched. We learned a lot this weekend. And let's jump in right now with the NBA Finals as Game 2 took place last night between the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors, who had actually won Game 1 last week. And we learned last night that the Warriors, despite an accumulating number of injuries, still found their way to beat Toronto and even up that series at one game apiece, and they stole home court advantage last night. So we already know Kevin Durant is out. We'll see if he ends up playing in this series. Last night, big man Kevin Looney left the game with a chest injury. Then Klay Thompson left the game with what they are saying is a hamstring strain. I mean, who knows anymore? Steph Curry was telling the Warriors trainer that he wasn't feeling well, but in the end, none of it mattered because these Warriors still find ways to win games. And after game one, where they allowed 118 points, and we started hearing the sports media saying the Warriors are done, in game two last night, the Warriors allow just 104 points. They win 109-104. Steph Curry, who maybe wasn't feeling well, still managed to score 23. Klay Thompson had 25, and the Warriors get a bizarre huge contribution from DeMarcus Cousins, who is back from that quad injury already, probably thanks to the same substance that caused the injury to begin with, but whatever. Anyways, Boogie, who actually started the game last night, scored 11 points, and he grabbed 10 rebounds. The Warriors, again, are getting contributions from players that we weren't really expecting them to get anything from. The Warriors were getting so thin that late last night, the Raptors were trying to one a box and one defense on Steph Curry. I mean, what is this, high school ball? And you know what? It actually worked for a few minutes because the Warriors weren't quite sure what to do with it. Now, that won't last because Golden State will be better prepared for that now. And they actually started to figure it out a little bit last night. They started to just attack the defense and get layups because there's no one in the middle of the zone. Like, you can do that if you want to, but as long as you run something, as long as you run either your zone stuff or your man stuff, you're going to get very, very good looks against a junk defense. But you know, it wasn't always pretty last night, and the Warriors actually needed a big three-pointer late from Andre Iguodala, but the Warriors get a huge win last night, and they can now actually clinch the title in Oakland if they just take care of their business at home. I know that won't be easy. This series is actually turning out to be pretty good. It feels a lot more entertaining to me than the last few series against Cleveland have been, for sure. This was a gritty win last night. The Warriors had to will themselves to get that win, and they did exactly that. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to today because we did learn a lot. The boxing world actually saw a huge surprise over the weekend. And you know what? It's probably not a very good thing. The NBA, once again, makes a really shady decision, and one NFL team had a major injury. Is it going to affect them at all? Well, probably not. Plus, college football down south is about to get even more crazy. I know it sounds hard to believe, but you're going to have to trust me. It's absolutely true.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday coming or an anniversary, or you just want to buy something for yourself. And don't forget that Father's Day is in June. You're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Toy Box. Return to an era where action figures were plentiful, towels doubled as capes, the floor was lava, and Saturday morning cartoons were serious business. Crack open our Toy Box and play around with some awesome pop culture gear. June's Loot Crate theme features items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Legend of Zelda, and more. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of other crates. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox each month. Or you can just order individual items for whatever franchise you want. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we will get you 10% off of your order, just as a thank you for listening to the Daily Dose.
So let's jump back into what we learned from the weekend in sports and continuing in the NBA. We learned that once again, the National Basketball Association just proves to be so shady in their front office rulings, and no one even questions it. I mean, we get news stories that come out about, you know, kind of a shady decision that the front office of the NBA makes, and everyone's just like, oh yeah, the NBA just does sketchy stuff. That's just, you know, how they operate. Who cares? Now, I hate to keep harping on this particular guy. I swear I do. But NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, he is like the equivalent of the bald, pasty, Punxsutawney Phil. You know, the groundhog that comes out once a year to tell us what the weather's going to be or whatever. Well, this groundhog comes out once a year and just talks about wanting sports gambling. But then he goes away for the other 364 days of the year. Well, over the weekend, Pasty Phil poked his head out, and no, not to talk about the horrible officiating that we continue to see in the NBA. Not to talk about how the NBA players are constantly talking back to those NBA refs. And not to talk about certain celebrities being way too involved in even playoff games, or the one and done rule, or addressing any of the developmental leagues that are, you know, pretty much non-existent in the NBA. No. Pasty Phil popped his head out of his groundhog hole on Friday to fine the Los Angeles Clippers $50,000 for tampering. Apparently, Clippers head coach Doc Rivers made some comments about Toronto Raptors guard Kawhi Leonard last week on the NBA Finals preview show that he appeared on. Well, what in the world did Doc Rivers say? Did he say that Kawhi Leonard would be welcomed by the Los Angeles Clippers? No. Did he say that the Clippers are ready to give Kawhi Leonard a huge chunk of money? No, he didn't say that either. Here's what Doc Rivers actually said, and you tell me when the tampering comes into play, okay? Doc Rivers said, and I quote, he, speaking of Kawhi Leonard, is the most like Jordan that we've ever seen. Like, there's a lot of great players. LeBron is phenomenal. KD is phenomenal. But he is the most like him. Big hands, post-game, can finish, great leaper, great defender, in-between game. If you beat him to the spot, bumps you off, then you add his three-point shooting. I never get into who's the best player. Magic is the best player. Michael Jordan is the best player. LeBron. But it's that same group. Now, from that, Pasty Punxsutawney Phil popped his head out of his groundhog hole, you know, for maybe his second time this year, other than to talk about sports gambling, and said that Doc Rivers had crossed a line and was tampering with Kawhi Leonard. Here is what Adam Silver had to say. I would just say Doc has been at this a long time. He said this in a video posted by the Boston Globe on Friday. It's not a fun part of my job ever finding anyone. And I understand the interest of the media in hearing a head coach's view about a current NBA player, but it's something where there's a bright line in the league and you're not allowed to do it. And head coaches or team executives in those positions, you just say, I'm not permitted by the league to respond to that question. Unfortunately, he crossed a bright line. Hey, remember that Adam Silver is the same guy that only gave a warning to then Los Angeles Lakers president of basketball operations, Magic Johnson, when he appeared on Jimmy Kimmel. And he was asked what he would do if he saw Paul George while on vacation. Here is what Magic had to say. No, we gonna say hi because we know each other. You just can't say, hey, I want you to come to the Lakers, even though I'll be wink-winking like you know what that means, right? That got a warning. Yeah, once again this weekend, we learned that the NBA has a star system in effect. Magic and the Lakers, they get all the calls. Doc and the Clippers, hey, it's going to be a little bit different for you because Punxsutawney Phil is going to pop his head out and fine you for doing far less than what the Lakers do. Hey, the star system is in effect in the NBA. Well done, Adam Silver. The integrity of the NBA strikes again. Hey, moving on from the NBA, got to talk a little bit about NHL hockey. We did also learn that the Stanley Cup final, yeah, it's about to be over if the St. Louis Blues can't figure out how to kill some penalties. With the series tied at one game each, the Boston Bruins went to St. Louis on Saturday night for Game 3. Remember, this is the first Stanley Cup final played in St. Louis since 1970. Here is a chance for the Blues to take the lead in that series and maybe take a huge step forward. Can you imagine if the St. Louis Blues actually won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history? That town would go crazy. They love their Blues, and that has been a hard luck team. Like, they've been close a few times. It always just seems like the puck bounces the wrong way for the St. Louis Blues. Hey, Saturday night, let's get it together. Let's go out and play a great game behind our home crowd that is just buzzing with electricity because they can smell this thing. Like, we are 1-1. Coming back home, we could pick up two games and put the Boston Bruins on the brink of elimination. The St. Louis Blues could be in the driver's seat. Yeah, and then the game actually got started, and the St. Louis Blues laid an absolute egg. They allowed the Boston Bruins to score literally every single time they went on the power play. Boston went 4-for-4 on the power play. And the Bruins stomped St. Louis 7-2, and now they take back home ice advantage and chase Blues goalie Jordan Binghamton off the ice. You could see the kid just had a rough night. He wasn't quite ready for prime time, and he's been so good all season. Biggest game of the Blues season, he has a no-show. Gives up 5 goals before they pull him, and the Bruins go on to score another 2. I mean, I guess we'll see if the Blues can show some life in game 4. Maybe they can still make this series interesting, but the Boston Bruins, they just look so tough, and they just look so experienced. There's nothing they haven't seen before. They're going to get it done. Oh, you're all excited about finally getting a Stanley Cup final in your hometown? Yeah, we don't care. We just come in and kick you in the teeth. And when we get these opportunities on the power play, we make you pay for them. You want to take dumb penalties? You're going to pay for it against us. You might have got away with that stuff over in the Western Conference, but against a team like Boston, yeah, I don't know if you're going to get away with that for much longer. The Stanley Cup final could be over very, very quickly because that game on Saturday night, that had to hurt that St. Louis squad so much. You want to talk about doubting yourself and getting in your own head? Yeah, we might have saw that a little bit on Saturday night. Kind of disappointing. I was hoping this would be a tight series. Hey, I'll still hope for the best, but not feeling that good about it. Switching over to boxing. Yes, we learned a little bit in boxing this weekend, didn't we? I don't know if it was good, but we learned that the big fight we all wanted to see, yeah, it's not going to be happening. And that is not good for boxing, no matter how they try to spin it. And I know the world of boxing. That's what they do. They try to spin these things and they try to convince us that, no, it's okay. It's all right. We still have some really good fights out here for you. Yeah, that's not what we want to see. Look, we've all been hoping that Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder would eventually give us the most anticipated heavyweight title fight that we've had in years. And I was trying to think back to the last heavyweight fight we actually got excited about. Because by the end of Mike Tyson's career, were you really that excited about his fights? I mean, it was an event. So, I mean, I guess we turned him on, but it really wasn't that exciting. We kind of knew how they were going to end. And then, you know, he started fighting guys like Evander Holyfield. We knew he couldn't beat Evander. He fought Lennox Lewis. He fought a couple of tomato cans that no one was interested in. But when was the last heavyweight title fight that you were like, oh, I have to see that fight? That is the biggest fight in the world. Vladimir Klitschko, for as talented of a guy as he is, he was a really, really boring fighter to watch. I didn't want to watch any of his fights. Nothing to see. Those boring Klitschko fights weren't cutting it. And the closest thing I could come up with, maybe like Riddick Bowe versus Evander Holyfield back in the early 90s. I mean, that's the last time we were excited about a heavyweight fight. Well, the fight we were hoping for, Joshua and Wilder, that we kept thinking, make this happen. Put this fight card together. It's going to actually get us excited about watching a heavyweight fight. Yeah, it's not going to be happening anytime soon. And if it does happen, it's a total farce. Don't even buy it. Because on Saturday night at Madison Square Garden in New York, the British Anthony Joshua, who kinda I think has been ducking Deontay Wilder a little bit, he won't give him the money that he wants. If they wanted to make this happen, they could make this happen. They just don't want to make it happen that much. Well, Anthony Joshua was shocked by a fighter that he wasn't even supposed to be fighting. So Anthony Joshua was supposed to be fighting Jarrell Miller, but Jarrell Miller failed a drug test. So that fight got taken off. Luis Ortiz said, no, he didn't want to fight. So instead, Anthony Joshua had to fight Mexican fighter Andy Ruiz Jr. Now, Andy Ruiz Jr., for the record, looks more like King Hippo from Mike Tyson Punch-Out than a true heavyweight contender. Okay, Anthony Joshua, so knock out King Hippo, and I guess move on to the biggest payday of your career against Wilder. Win or lose, Anthony Joshua is going to make huge money in that Deontay Wilder fight. But then Anthony Joshua really struggled against King Hippo all night. He looked heavy-legged. He wasn't throwing his hands much, which has been a problem for him in the past. Sometimes he just doesn't throw that many punches. And on Saturday night, it came back to bite him again. Not to mention the fact, Ruiz is actually fighting a pretty good fight. He catches Joshua with a couple of shots, including one a little behind his ear. Maybe got Joshua a little bit dizzy. Seemed like he was a little bit disoriented. But in the 7th round, Ruiz Jr. catches him with a few solid shots, and Anthony Joshua takes a knee. Okay, he's okay. He's going to stand up. He's going to still finish this fight. But then when the ref tells him to stand up, come toward him, raise his gloves up to his face, he doesn't respond to any of the ref's commands. So the ref has to call a technical knockout, and Andy Ruiz Jr. becomes the first Mexican heavyweight champion of all time, despite the fact that, honestly, he looks more like a championship pie eater than a fighter. Now, we are going to be hearing from the world of boxing about maybe Anthony Joshua wants a rematch with Ruiz, or even maybe Ruiz should now fight Deontay Wilder. I don't want to see either one of those fights. Hey, congrats to Andy Ruiz. But that dude is not in the class of Deontay Wilder. That's going to be a short, ugly, nasty fight. Because Wilder is going to come in prepared. I don't know what was wrong with Joshua. I don't know if he didn't feel like fighting. I don't know if he didn't prepare. I don't know if he didn't train. But he looked like he had no business being in the ring with the guy that looked like he had no business being in the ring. Anthony Joshua just screwed himself in his career out of a huge payday. And you know what else? He sort of screwed boxing too. But I mean, it's boxing. Do we really expect anything else than them screwing themselves? It's what boxing does at this point. It's just science. Forget the sweet science. Boxing is the science of screwing themselves because they just do dumb things again and again and again. And you know, if there was a sanctioning body, they would have put the Joshua Wilder fight together a long time ago. Hey, I'm not always the biggest MMA fan. I'm just not. I think there is a particular sweet science to boxing. And yet when they can't make these fights happen, again, you just kind of shy away from it. Just shake your head and go, boxing, why won't you take the money that is out there for you to take? There is millions and millions of dollars if you would make these fights happen, but no one can make these fights happen. Boxing, once again, is a huge, huge mess. We did also learn something over the weekend that, I'm going to be honest, kind of made me a little bit sad. Because we got another reminder over the weekend that, you know, some of the stars that we have been cheering for years now, they're getting older. And that new era is here, and we're starting to see some of those stars kind of go by the wayside. I mean, we see stars like Tiger Woods. Hey, he's getting older. Great, he had that Masters win just recently, but he's getting older. You see Dwayne Wade coming down to the end. Tom Brady still playing at a high level, but we know, hey, the end is getting near for a guy like Tom Brady. Dirk Nowitzki, he's clearly done. Ben Roethlisberger, getting older. Even LeBron James. Hey, the end is definitely closer than the beginning. That's for sure, right? Well, in women's tennis, we're seeing it too. With a player that we have been watching since she was a little kid, but on Saturday at the French Open, Serena Williams had her earliest loss at a major tournament since 2014. Williams was outplayed all day by 20-year-old American Sofia Kenin, who just dominated Serena with her serve. She knocked Serena out 6-2, 7-5 on a day that saw Serena Williams have 34 unforced errors. Oh, we're just not used to seeing that, are we? Hey, Serena Williams is now 37 years old. She is coming off of having her daughter back in 2017, and don't forget, she had her daughter with some serious complications. And while I don't expect her to just go away, she's too tough. She'll will herself back into competition. Are we ever really going to see Serena Williams like we knew her? Are we ever even going to see Serena Williams, I hate to say this, win another major tournament? I mean, it's not going to be easy for her. Tennis is a young person's game. Now, I won't count Serena out just yet, but she is really struggling lately to keep up with those younger, faster players. And it's tough to see some of these players fading, isn't it? But they just keep getting older, and we see them start to take steps back athletically. It's kind of tough to watch. Hey, it's a good thing we're all staying so young because, I mean, they're all starting to get old. At least we're not doing that, right? Moving over to the NFL, we actually learned that the Green Bay Packers have already suffered their first major injury of the season at OTAs, and that's not good. I mean, you never want to see that. You don't like to see these guys get injured, and it's an Achilles injury at that. I mean, that's even worse. So who was it? Who went down for the Packers? Was it quarterback Aaron Rodgers? Thankfully, no. Was it someone like wide receiver Davante Adams? Again, no. But it is a big name. But I bet it actually won't affect the Packers all that much, to be very honest. No, the Achilles injury was actually to new head coach Matt LaFleur, who they say is a really hands-on coach. And they say Matt LaFleur was out playing basketball at the Packers facilities with a few of the fellas. Now, this actually came just after he was back playing some safety in a few drills at OTAs last week. Now look, I realize Matt LaFleur is a young guy. He's only 39 years old. He's the second youngest head coach in the NFL. But dude, come on, man. You're not a player anymore. You know, when I first started coaching basketball, and I was just a lowly punk assistant coach, the head coach would sometimes put me into drills with the kids. Maybe we had a numbers issue. Maybe he wanted to even up the numbers. Maybe he just wanted to give them a different perspective going against a more experienced player like myself. But I have also learned that the head coaches also did that to see if I was dumb enough to go out there and hurt myself in those drills. Now, I was lucky. I never did. But as you get older, you start to say to yourself, yeah, I don't need to be doing that. I don't need to blow my ACL showing you how to box out or something. But then I noticed that as I became a head coach, I started to do the same thing. Like, get the young assistant out there. He can show them some things. And you know what? If he hurts himself in the process, hey, lesson learned. You're not as young as you think you are anymore. You're no longer a player. You're now a coach. Start acting like a coach. Yeah, apparently Matt LaFleur still hasn't learned that lesson yet. He still thinks he's a player. Now, I'm sure when he hobbles up to Aaron Rodgers in his walking boot, Aaron's really going to listen to him now, right? You're really going to command that respect on your leg scooter when you scoot up to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, here's what I think you should be doing. Now, I actually don't think this injury is going to affect the Packers all that much, because let's not kid ourselves. Aaron was not going to be listening to Matt LaFleur anyway.
You done messed up, Aaron!
But the Packers do undergo their first major injury of the season. It's never good. Come on, Matt LaFleur. You're no longer a player. Start being a coach. Finally, we learned that college football down south, yeah, it's about to get even more crazy. Now, how in the world is that even possible? Well, get ready, folks, because on Friday, the SEC voted during their annual spring meetings to lift a ban on selling alcoholic beverages in public areas at their athletic events.
Are you kidding me?
Now, the conference's new policy, which opens another revenue stream for those member schools, will go into effect this year, August 1st. But the policy doesn't require schools to sell alcoholic beverages, which will be limited to just beer and wine. They will leave the decision up to each school. Yeah. If there's one thing public universities don't like, it's money. I'm sure they're all going to be saying no to that, right? Free money? Hey, no thank you. We've got enough money already, son. Keep it moving there, buddy. We don't need any more of it. Now, I know the argument for alcohol sales at these games. A lot of people in attendance are of age. Kids are going to sneak it in anyways, no matter if it's legal or not. Just make it legal. It'll bring in money, and it'll clean up some of those things where people are trying to smuggle it in. Yeah, here's the problem. I've been to the University of Colorado for football games where alcohol sales are legal, and a more obnoxious college football experience I cannot recall. So let me see if I have this straight. You're going to give alcohol to SEC fans that already operate in their day-to-day lives like they're drunk even when they're sober? What could possibly go wrong there? Remember, these are the same phonies that banned the name of the Florida-Georgia game being called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party because they didn't want those implications around that game. And that was just a name. This is actual legal drinking. So have you ever like been to a party? Maybe, I don't know, like a family reunion. And you have a friend or like an uncle and you're like, oh no, look, he's drinking. He can't drink. And maybe someone that doesn't know says, well, I mean, what's the big deal? Everybody's drinking. No, but he specifically can't drink. Like, he shouldn't drink. He doesn't do well with alcohol. Well, the SEC is literally that drunk uncle that you never want to have any alcohol. That is every SEC football fan. You think Buffalo Bills fans act crazy? Try Alabama or Tennessee or LSU or Auburn fans. Jumping off of a trailer naked while lighting themselves on fire, that's going to seem tame by comparison. Once again, money trumps all in the world of college sports, as the SEC is now going to get alcohol sales rolling at SEC games. Remember, It's all about the kids, folks. It is all about the kids. Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we'll of course be looking at some of the biggest stories in the world of sports. And then, you know, we might have to take a look at a few teams in Major League Baseball. Yeah, they're not off to a very good start. It might be time for a few teams to start mashing that panic button.
Danger warning.
Plus, this week, we're going to have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. We will have some sports media overreactions. And, of course, on Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5 for you. Yes, it's going to be another busy week for us here at The Dose. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show with a friend, a coworker, a family member, thank you so much. It is appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.